Blog Talk Radio.
Want to give him drugs, but all these doctors were asked to do illegal things. They didn't have to. And I mean, if he did the illegal thing, he needs to go down for it.
Okay.
Well, here's my opinion. Bottom line is, he was the only guy that was there. You know, they talked about how it took him X amount of time to call the paramedics. I mean, to me, it was a no-brainer.
Yeah, 20 minutes, I think they said. And when security, I think, got there first, from what I remember. Security in the Jackson compound got to the room first. And when they got there, they said that Murray was spending more time trying to pack stuff away and trying to get them to help him put stuff away, the drugs and the other kinds of evidence, if you will, more. Attention was paid to that than to giving Michael CPR or to attending to Michael and trying to save his life. And like you said, Jay, it took them a while. I don't remember how many minutes they said before they called. I believe it was 20 minutes before they called the paramedics. So what a mess. Ronnie,
well, it was like an old drug dealer from the 70s.
Oh, what?
What did you say?
Okay, who's old enough to remember the old drug dealers? They clean up.
No, she didn't.
It's the truth. They clean up before they call the police.
Yeah, that's right. Even in a movie,
so,
they did.
I've never been a drug dealer, but I know that people do. They used to do stuff like that. They would In Harlem, they would, Kathleen, they left the bodies and they all cleared out.
They cleaned up all the stuff, took all the syringes, took everything, took the jewelry off the body and left the building.
Left the building.
Huh? What'd you say, Miss Elliott?
You being a lawyer, why are you so shocked that this went down like this?
Yeah.
Well, you know, when I was watching this trial, when I first heard about it, first of all, the idea that someone could have actually killed the King of Pop was just way beyond what I could imagine. I mean, I just couldn't ingest it. So bad enough that we find out, yes, it was indeed, he was indeed receiving some drugs. We knew he had some problems with pain medications before in the past. I thought that was cleared up. But to hear all of this come out, right, that he was taking these propofol and all these other medications in IV form, and that a physician, a licensed physician who was very accomplished in his field, actually gave this man an, not only just gave him an overdose, because overdoses happen in the hospital. I worked in a hospital, you know, I'm an attorney, but also a nurse. Worked in a hospital for years. So stuff, you know, crap happens. Rarely, if ever, do you see the physicians going to jail for it. Rarely, if ever, do you see the negligence to this extent whereby the physician is actually convicted of homicide.
And that's my shock. That's why I'm shocked. They
homicide.
Never get convicted.
Homicide.
And homicide? Never. Never.
This man, when they said it was the judge from the bench, he said, this is a homicide.
Homicide.
So, yes, understand that Dr. Murray has made all of his court appearances. We understand that he's fully cooperated. We understand that he's represented by counsel. However,
he's remanded
because the public needs to be protected from this man. What he did was homicide. So when they said that, the guards in the room converged on this man like eagles on a dead body and put handcuffs on him while he was still seated, like he would probably pull out somebody's guns and go buck wild in the courtroom. They cuffed him right there before the court session was even over, before they could come up with the sentencing date and everything. They just say he was a common criminal. And so he said now that Dr. Murray is a convicted felon, all that is put by the wayside, all that trust we have in him is put by the wayside, and I believe he needs to be remanded to prison, and they took him in the paddy wagon.
And then they said he's a flight risk possibly because he has connections in other states, because, you know, he has a license in Las Vegas as well and Arizona as well. So he had so many connections in other states, they figured that he could leave the state, and then there would be an extradition involved and so forth. So he was the menace to the society. I was in shock.
So,
I never dreamed that they would lock up a doctor. When have they ever?
The guys are not in shock.
Come on.
They're like sitting there like, are they serious?
No, seriously, no, come on. Think about this. You know, once again, all I can say to you guys is he was the man that was there when he was dead, when he died. He was the guy who did not put him on a flat surface to perform CPR. He has all these different things that have come out against him since he was practicing, you know, medicine in Houston. To me, it was a done deal, period.
Oh, right. He was a Texas doctor as well, wasn't he? He has a license in Houston, and was it Arizona or Houston?
Deal.
Houston and
Didn't the same thing happen to the doctor that killed Kanye West's mother?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
No, did he go to jail?
He didn't go to jail, but he lost his license to practice as well. And he was another, but see, Dr. Murray was, I had said this a couple of weeks ago, Dr. Murray was a backdoor doctor. Michael had been basement shopping, and he finally hit the nail on the head when he got Dr. Murray, because Dr. Murray needed the money, and Dr. Murray was starstruck. and the other doctors in Los Angeles, they may have possibly given him medication here and there, and were not willing to leave their practice and take the risk of losing their licenses to give him medication and go on tour with him.
Right.
He wanted a doctor that would be willing to do that, and he found Dr. Murray. Dr. Murray, what sunk his ship is those girls that came in streaming into the courtroom one after another. You know, yes, I was dating Dr. Murray. Yes, I was excited when he told me he was Michael Jackson's doctor. So Dr. Murray got starstruck, and I just felt bad for him. That's why I'm shocked that they locked him up, because most of the time doctors do not get charged. I believe that he was so starstruck, and he actually thought that he was going to be able to get away with this. And I don't think he thought Michael Jackson was going to croak. I really don't think he thought Michael would die. I think that he was going to be able to handle Michael Jackson. And I don't know anybody that has involved themselves ever with a person that was a substance abuser of that level, but they are not controllable, and that's what happened to Dr. Murray. He was out of his league, and he was not an anesthesiologist to boot. That was the biggest problem he had. He did not know how to manage that drug. That drug was out of his realm of expertise. And they just had Dr. Alon. Kathleen, did you see Dr. Alon Steinberg, his testimony, the cardiologist?
Yeah, a while back, I saw that.
Right, and he was a cardiologist from New York that moved to Southern California, and he used to use propofol, and when he got to California, they wouldn't allow him to use it.
So the guys, Jay and Mr. Elliott, you guys are like, look, he did it, send him to jail. What's the big deal? And my thing is that I not that I don't believe that he should be punished for this, because I do think this is it was negligent. I'm not even saying that I'm sorry, but I am surprised that they treated him like, you know, the convicted felon and took him away and cuffed that the way they did. I actually was surprised. Normally, you see the license removed, you see a lot of these, you know, a lot of other punishments and so forth. But to just blatantly come out and say that it was homicide was surprising to me. I'm not saying
I was expecting you to explain that to us. Why did they change it from involuntary manslaughter and call it homicide? I know that the coroner ruled it a homicide.
Well, it was still called voluntary manslaughter. He was guilty. He was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter.
Right.
So,
but why they upgraded to a homicide, though?
That is homicide.
It is
homicide,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that is
just involuntary.
You know, so
but okay, if you kill somebody, you usually go to jail for life. So that's why I'm wondering if it's a lesser charge. If you're convicted of first degree homicide, you go to jail for life most of the time. He's getting 4 years, which in California translates to like 30 days.
No, that's murder. It's a different thing. And yeah, he has I think the maximum for involuntary manslaughter is for the crime that he's convicted of, involuntary manslaughter, the maximum sentence is 4 years. And they're saying that he will not likely serve 4 years. So, you know, there's different levels of homicide. And then you have murder. And then, you know, you have first-degree, third-degree murder, all have different sentences that attach to it. So what he's convicted of, involuntary manslaughter, is something, you know, is that can happen with a car accident and other kinds of things. But he could have been convicted of was like negligence, you know, it could have been negligence, it could have been a lot of other things. But for him, they straight up said this was homicide. His behavior was so egregious that it amounted to involuntary manslaughter, and that's not that commonly seen with physicians. Because, you know, think about it. If a physician makes an error or a nurse makes an error, it can cost a person their life. So if you see, like, if you give somebody the wrong drug, for example, you could give somebody insulin and overdose them on insulin and so forth, and that could cost somebody their life. You could put the wrong medication in a needle, give them a shot, give them the wrong medication in an IV, and you could kill somebody. But when they do the trial, when they know that you did, it was not intentional, it was not, you know, and it wasn't so egregious as with all of those things, which is why they asked for every single aspect of his behavior before, during, after the incident to say, well, wait a minute, any doctor with any reasonable standard of practice would not have conducted themselves in the same fashion. And that's why they got all those other doctors to testify as expert witnesses. So that's where it goes. So, Jay, I think from what you're saying, it just looks straight up like guilt to you from the giddy-up. At what point did you think that he was responsible for Michael's death, from the very beginning when Michael died or later on as this thing came up?
From the very beginning when Michael died. I mean, you know, I just believe that when you sit back and listen to how that whole thing went down, I mean, you know what, there's just no way. I mean, this guy is going to be held accountable. You can't kill the king of pop and then think you're going to walk away. It ain't going to happen. So, trust me, I was like, I don't know why people are all, you know, been out of shape behind, because it's like, hey, he's going to jail. It's just a matter of how long he's going to jail. Not surprised at all.
They just let Casey Anthony walk away from killing a baby.
Well,
the jury just let... Yeah.
See,
so why would we think that they let O.J. Simpson walk out from killing two people?
Yeah, but you know
they
what?
Did.
But here's the deal. Like I said, I'm not an attorney by no stretch of the imagination, but that was a whole different situation. That's why a lot of people are saying what the people in Florida should have done was went after her with a lesser charge. Because if you're going after capital murder, then guess what? You have to go beyond a reasonable doubt. So they really didn't have a lot of... The jury didn't really have a whole lot of choice in that particular case.
I felt it was a no-brainer.
It's not a no-brainer.
The same instance was that the girl was missing for 31 days. Whose child is missing for 31 days and they don't call the police?
But you have no murder weapon. You have, you know, the body was barely decomposed. And even though I went ballistic, and everyone knows who's listened to any of the shows, I was going off during that whole period. But at the end of the day, beyond a reasonable doubt.
So that's why I still thought they were going to find a reasonable doubt when they came up with this theory that Michael Jackson possibly injected himself. And I knew that in my own mind, Kathleen, how could he, Amanda, you went to the restroom because you thought he was asleep, and you were talking on the phone to your girlfriend, but now all of a sudden he's able to get up and inject himself. Now, have you guys, any of you guys ever had surgery?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I have.
So do you remember jumping up and doing anything to yourself? You don't even remember who you are.
No, you don't.
But the thing is that... No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
But in that instance, I mean, you know, when I heard what Michael was saying, he was heavily medicated, very heavily medicated. And, wow, I felt so bad for this man as he was, you know, talking. And I was like, what is actually going on with this guy when he's got this guy so heavily medicated that you could barely understand what he was saying?
Yes.
Anybody have any take on why he recorded that conversation?
I have no clue.
Yeah. It was really
What do you
something.
Think, Kathleen?
What the thing I wanted to ask about was whether or not this is something that we have to really think about with men in particular, because Michael was he was in a lot of pain, and it's not just physical pain or whatever. For him to get when he was on drugs like this, there was a problem. So this man, this ideologist, first of all, to want to continue to inject him to this extent where he was that drugged out and so forth and not really recommend him for help, that to me is negligence in itself. So I'm wondering how many guys do we just treat like this? Instead of making him deal with what's really the problem, just continue to give him the drugs and move him, you know, get him further and further and further and further in a state of like this so that he basically, even if Michael did it himself, it's suicide. If the doctor did it, it's murder. So I'm just wondering if this is something that, you know, had Michael been able to get help earlier, if he also, if that's another reason that we could say he'd be sitting here. No.
It's not just men, though. You can't attribute this situation to men. Anna Nicole Smith died from the same situation. Her doctors were just acquitted barely in the last, what, year or so? They all three of those doctors were held accountable, and they went on trial. That trial wasn't made public here. I didn't see it. So I just know I heard the doctor on three nights ago. He came on and they spoke to him and he said that he will never help another celebrity with pain management again. It's much too dangerous. And so this is what they call it, Beverly Pills instead of Beverly Hills.
Right.
It's the way it is. You can get anything you want. If you have enough money, you can get any drug you want. And it's male, female, it's not, they don't discriminate.
Well, I know that, but I was just bringing it up about men in particular because I just that is one of the issues. You know, guys, what do you think about that?
You broke up, sweetie. What did you say? You broke up right
oh,
there.
Oh no, I was saying I agree with Ronnie that it's not just men, but I was posing the question really about guys in particular. I'm recognizing that it's not just men, and I absolutely agree with that. But I was asking you all, what do you think about that with regards to men? You know, we had this gentleman here looking at all the problems that Michael has had to be having if he was on propofol, you know, to that extent. And I'm wondering if anything about the, you know, psyche whatever, or how we treat men and let them go ahead with this behavior makes a difference. End of life.
Well, I don't know about Mr. Astatelia.
Well, you know something, it was a proven fact that he was addicted to pain medications for a very long time. And I guess right after the Pepsi commercials when he started on the pain medication. So, I mean, for this doctor, to me, to be the only one on trial, I think a lot of the doctors that he dealt with should have been on trial, too. You know?
Whoa. What do you mean by that?
I mean, come on. This doctor wasn't the only one prescribing pain medication for.
Yeah, but the other doctors weren't there when he died either.
No, they weren't there when he died, but they were doing illegal things. So if you're breaking the code of ethics for what a doctor deserves and a doctor does, aren't you held just the same as this man?
Yeah, but you know, you can say what you want to, but that's a whole different ball game as far as I'm concerned. I mean, if you was there when the guy died, then guess what? You need to be held accountable. This wasn't about, to me, it wasn't about, oh, we're going to get him because he gave Michael Jackson drugs, he did illegal things, you know, he did things that was uncharacteristic of doctors. This is the situation was, hey, Michael Jackson was dead, you were there when it happened, guess what? Somebody has to go down. So,
he might have been there when it no doubt he was there when it happened, no doubt. But the bottom line is, This is a long line of doctors that instead of saying, like Al Sharpton said today, that instead of somebody saying, no, this is illegal, Michael, you got to go through the right case, the right system, the right courts, to whatever you need to do to get your medications. You got, instead of that, everybody looked at it and said, this is the king of pop. I'm going to do whatever I can to help this guy. And he's got star celebrity, star status, and he's paying me all this money, and he's going to get what he wants.
Well, I don't know how you go after the other doctors. I mean, because I'm pretty sure other doctors probably said that. And you know, when she talked about that in the very beginning, bottom line is that you know, hey, that's what happened, and so Michael Jackson, the doctor who worked on Michael Jackson, hey, you were there when it happened. You were there when he quote, and guess what? You're going to be the one that's going to pay the cost because you were there.
I don't. I think it's a long line of doctors that actually, you know, that need to pay for this one, man. Not saying Conrad Murray should get off. Not saying that. But what I am saying is that it's a long line of doctors that did prescribe illegal medication for this guy.
So what do you do then? So what are you saying? How
did
you go get him?
I mean, obviously the problem's not going to go away. I mean, right. So how do you resolve the problem? You say, okay, I got this doctor, and all you other guys keep doing what you're doing. Go ahead. It's okay that you keep prescribing illegal medication to stars. We'll kill as many people as we can, but we'll put you guys with one at a time. Obviously, something needs to be in place to stop this illegal medication from being prescribed. Something needs to be in place.
Well, I lived in Los Angeles for half my life or maybe more. Anybody can go to the right doctor. You don't have to be a celebrity. The doctors prescribe a lot of pain medication. It's going to change, but they do. They prescribe a lot of pain medication. It's just a lifestyle there. And now it's going to change. So unfortunate, you know, that a few will have to pay for the, many will have to pay for the few, but it's going to happen. And Dr. Murray is going to jail because he was the one at the house. He was the one that decided that I'm going to charge $5 million for these services. And he was the one that did not know how to administer the drug. And he's the one that administered the drug, the lethal dose. And the fact that the man did not have to die, and all the experts corroborated. Even the defense experts said Michael Jackson did what Dr. Murray did was egregious, and that he probably would have lived had Dr. Murray just called 911, just that. Never mind whether he knew how to administer the correct dosage or had the right equipment.
So if that's the case, so then why are you shocked that he was found guilty then?
Because normally they let doctors go.
Okay.
The other thing, too, is, you know, just thinking about propofol and everybody who's followed the trial, if you don't know anything about propofol, you realize that Michael shouldn't have been getting propofol in the first place. I mean, it's not like Excedrin. You know what I mean? It's not like, you know, oh, I got a headache, I got some pain, let me go take some Advil, or, oh, no, they don't have Advil, oh, I'll get propofol. No, that's not the situation. So not knowing how to administer it, I mean, yes, he doesn't know how to administer it. I mean, it's given under the most stringent of circumstances. It's just not a normal, everyday drug that you can change the body on. So the fact
and how
that
deep do you want to sleep? I mean, really, I mean, how deep do you need to sleep?
Yeah, and what happened to Somnex, you know, or a cup of hot milk?
You know, Ambien even.
Yeah, there's a problem there.
Tylenol
on
PM.
That would have probably been like a Tic Tac to Mike. You know, come on, let's just be honest.
Right. So he needed rehab. He did. He needed help. And that was the situation.
Right.
I think that's part of what had to lead up to the decision today. So I for one, actually applaud the jury. I do think that this behavior on the part of this physician, as unfortunate as it is for him to present, like it's made. And I am very happy that he will not be prescribing propofol for anybody else anytime soon. So.
Yep.
Kathleen, what did you think about the judge? You think the judge was, like, really angry?
I don't know. I thought he was on his job, though. I really did.
He was on his job. That's what I mean. He was like, this. No, you will not get out of here tonight and prescribe anything to anybody.
Yeah, and you won't leave town either. So I was surprised that he did it, but I wasn't disappointed. Again, you know, gentlemen, just like, you know, because we're talking about it and because we're saying we're surprised, I am not saying that I think the wrong decision Washington State. I always have a problem when I see, you know, it just concerns me that he was escorted out of the courtroom in handcuffs the way he was. You know, I just think
up like a gangster,
really
like.
I just really think that he took the wrong turn. Yes, he's got to pay, but it just seemed like it was really difficult. And even the judge said so. Did you guys watch that?
Yeah. Well,
that, you know, you can wait a minute.
You can wait a minute.
Yeah. You don't beat the man like Rodney King in the courtroom. You know, he's not running. But
Showtime.
You know,
Showtime. Somebody had to be making an example of Showtime.
Yeah. And that bothered me a little bit. That did bother me.
Yeah, because look at all how many times did Lindsay Lohan come in, loaded, whatever, and get away. That's why I was saying I was shocked.
Stop hating.
That's
where
I'm coming from.
You hate now. Stop hating. Stop hating. You hate. Just congratulate. Don't hate. Congratulate. Don't hate. You're
no,
hating now.
It's a fact.
It's
That's
wrong.
The way they treat the celebrities. They let them get away with murder. Lindsay needs rehab.
Yeah.
Lindsay needs help.
She really does need rehab.
That's
so,
what I mean. I don't mean to hate on her. I'm happy to see her free, but I'd like to see her get healthy so she can become she's a phenomenal actress.
Yes, she is. So anyway, we're 8:34. We're a couple of minutes past the. I wanted to do a quick 30 minutes on this. I'm so glad that you guys joined me. On,
no problem.
Yes, I appreciate it. And I also appreciate the fact that you were like, yo, slam the door, turn on the game. slam the bars.
We wish you well. God bless you. God bless Comrade Murray and his family. And God bless the United States of America.
Yeah, and God bless Michael Jackson's family. That's the part that is just, you know, it's so gut-wrenching to know that the family has to sit there and say, my goodness, this man killed my son. You know, and they had to have known him before. You know, I wonder if any of them were aware of the problem. Because when you saw Michael, when I saw him on stage the night before in the preview to the concert when the movie This Is It and all that stuff, you couldn't tell me that man was under that kind of influence or had that kind of a problem.
Yeah.
Did you guys think that?
Well, no, but you gotta imagine this too, Kathleen. His family was never really involved with him because they were trying to have an intervention with him, and he wouldn't allow them to come close to him.
Right. But I'm just saying, you know, when you saw This Is It, if you saw This Is It, and that the movie that was released from the rehearsal for that tour that he was about to embark upon, did you think when you saw that this was the same man that whose voice was in that tape the night before? Did you think that at all? I mean, I just didn't see that when I saw this man, the way he was performing in This Is It. I just didn't.
Well, if you looked at the, I got a chance to look at the backstage interviews, and the people that have been around him the longest said he wasn't himself because if you look at the performance, he couldn't complete really one song. Or a complete variety of songs together because they said he was tired. He was always sitting down.
Oh, okay. Well, it's just one of the most unfortunate things, you know, one of the most unfortunate things I've seen in you know, it's really a devastation to the family, you know, to Michael. He could have gotten help. I just know he could have gotten help. So I'm really sorry to see that. And, you know, Conrad Murray, for 4 years at least, he will have some time to think about it and, prayerfully some.
I mean, what a complete waste of talent, though. I mean, a complete waste
of
talent.
I'm concerned. I'm so hurt. How many doctors do we have? We can't afford to lose doctors.
Well, yeah, that and the fact you had the greatest entertainer in the world is no longer with us. I mean, this is, just so much talent wasted there. Wow.
And also, now he lost his medical license, which is just a tragedy. And then on top of that, we lost the King of Pop. But when Michael was there, why didn't Dr. Murray, when Michael's family came to the gates, why didn't he open the gates and let them in and let them get that man's help? Michael wouldn't let anybody in.
Yeah. Well, just like he was tied to evidence. He wasn't, he knew that this could be the outcome. So if they find out what's going on, then of course they're going to blame him because he knew he was wrong. And, you know, God bless them for taking away his medical license. I don't think it's a tragedy. I'm glad they took it because if he was functioning like this, if he had gotten off, God only knows what he would have done next. I don't know if he got the lesson because that was one of the stone-coldest stare I saw for however many weeks he was on this trial. I didn't see not one ounce of he even today, he didn't even flinch. He didn't even flinch. So
didn't you tell me hardcore?
Yeah, I'm not sure what was going on in his head, but that was really something, you know. And I guess, guys, the thing that was upsetting to me, too, and the reason why I'm glad you all are here to talk with me about this is because it kind of makes you walk through this thing all over again. And if I feel like that, you know, I'm just wondering what the family is feeling like to say, oh, my God, not only did we lose Michael, but now we have to find out that he was murdered. You know, it's just like, it's almost too much.
Well, guys, we appreciate you hanging out. We appreciate hanging out with you guys tonight. And like I said, God bless everyone. And we'll talk to you cats later.
All right. Thanks, Jay. Thanks, Mr. Elias. Thanks, Ronnie. Thanks, everyone.
Anytime, Kathleen. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Ronnie, I know you're busy tonight, so I really am grateful that you took the time to come on and hang out with me tonight on Ask Kathleen and talk about Conrad Murray, because I know you've been following this for the longest. So I'm very, very happy that you took time to come out and talk about it, because it's something that was important to all of us here. So everybody have a great evening. It was, try and I don't know what to say about Michael Jackson. Send some love and some prayers out to his family for sure, and make sure that if you can, send a message to the family, a message to Catherine, Jackson, Joe, all of them, you know, regardless of what you think about them and their lives, the children, you know, we lost the world, we lost a tremendous entertainer, a family has lost a son, a brother, children have lost a father, nieces and nephews lost an uncle, and we lost the King of Pop. So, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for tuning in to Ask Kathleen on this special broadcast of the show tonight to address the Conrad Murray verdict just in tonight. He is guilty of homicide. He is now convicted, left the courtroom in handcuffs. He is remanded to the state of California. He will be in prison until the sentencing, which will take place later this month in November. I believe the date was either November 16th or November 16th. He will go back for sentencing. The maximum sentence that he will get for this involuntary homicide, involuntary manslaughter, is 4 years. 4 years. And that's also something to think about. Is that enough time? You know, we'll see. We'll see what happens when he gets back. Also, he could possibly be eligible for parole earlier than that 4 years. So we will see what will happen here. But in any case, I pray for this man to have the time to sit down and think about the turn that his career has taken. Boy, oh my goodness, the turn that his career has taken and what he's going to do with the end of his life. I pray that he doesn't just look at this now, making it an opportunity to make more money by selling this story and selling this issue. From what I understand from Ronnie the other night on Adam, Where Art Thou, he has already received offers to begin filming a documentary and talking about this program, talking about this issue that happened. People are already, sorry about that, people are already after him to tell the story of being Michael Jackson's doctor. So that's Ronnie calling me right now. So I am praying that he will have an opportunity to really sit down and think about all the pain that this is causing the family and the world, because I'm really disheartened by just having to go through this again, and I'm not even closely related. So everybody listening, thank you so much for joining us tonight on this impromptu episode of broadcast, rather, of Ask Kathleen. Have a phenomenal week. It's Monday evening, November 7th, and it is an opportunity for you, too, to just reflect on how your life is going and the people in your space. Is anybody in trouble? Can you speak up? Can you help them out? Can you save them by not allowing them to go forward with the behaviors that are causing destruction to them? If you can, say something. If you see something, say something. If you can do something, definitely do something. You're listening to Kathleen Williams. I'm your host. This is Ask Kathleen. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great week and a great night. Love you. Bye-bye.
Welcome to SBNet News, 90-second news break. Fox is bringing back the sketch comedy series In Living Color with creator and star Keenan Ivory Wayans on board as host and executive producer. Two half-hour specials will air as part of the network's 25th anniversary celebration in mid-season. If successful, it will join the regular schedule next season. Two chemicals considered harmful to children are still in some bottles of Johnson & Johnson baby shampoo, according to a coalition of health and environmental groups. The disputed ingredients are dioxane and the substance called Quinterium 15 they release formaldehyde. Johnson & Johnson said it's reducing or gradually phasing out the chemicals. So we have to read labels. 30 large and profitable U.S. companies paid no income taxes from 2008 to 2010. A comprehensive analysis of 280 corporations on the Forbes list found that on $160 billion in profits, they paid negative $10 billion in taxes for an average effective rate of negative 6.7%. In Washington, a federal judge approved the government-backed settlement that will provide $1.25 billion in relief to thousands of black farmers wronged by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. There you have it. I'm Jerome Mespree for Esprinet News.
Hey, Dad, what are you doing at the start of the school year? Why not take the time to take your child to school? In September, we celebrate Dad's Take Your Child to School Day. Our children need us. It's important for them to know we care. Find out when your child's school celebrates this event and join with fathers, grandfathers, stepfathers, and mentors in taking your child to school together. Then stay involved. Your child will love it and do better in school.
This is a message from the State and City of New York.
When God made you, He said, "This is my creation." Gave the breath of life in you. I am well pleased. Has dominion rule the earth.
minutes of physical activity a day and eating well can help get your child healthy. So keep them active and eating well every day.
Skip a rope Saturday, free tag Friday, tap dance Thursday.
Get ideas. Get involved. Get going at letsmove.gov. That's letsmove.gov. A message from USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
For the better part.